Welcome to the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast with your host, hailing from Kokona, Wisconsin, riding a CST Tires SSI decals traveling back Yamaha YFZ450R, four-time ATV motocross national champion, number 25, Cody Jansen.
What's up, everybody?
We're back!
Welcome to the latest edition of the Digging Deep ATV MX Podcast, episode 134 of the Digging Deep ATV MX Podcast, presented by our title sponsor, CST Tires, in stock and available for purchase today at shop.cstires.com. I'm your host, Cody Jansen, saying hello to our over 253,000 monthly Digging Deep listeners in all 108 countries in which you are listening, and this is our 2024 Underground Race Review Show. It was round one for the amateurs, round two for the pros. We have so much to get into, and we're slightly delayed because producer Dallas has been out of town for the last 10 days or so. So let's streamline this thing, skip staging, and get right to the starting gate. But first, let's quickly shout out all of our incredible partners. CST Tires, go to shop.cstires.com today. Yamaha, thanks to Blue Crew. Thanks to SSI Decals, Valvoline, DID Racing Chain, Namira Technologies, Bronco ATV and UTV Components, Lauderville Steel Enterprises and Concrete Supply, the financial advice of the Haymauer Financial Group, DP Brakes, Factory 43, Binky's Forever ATC Museum, Impact Solutions, Ultimate Poly Products, UPP Racing, our choice when it comes to case savers, chain sliders, intake manifolds, and more. New partner, the D6 Ultimate Quad Series, whose second round of racing is taking place this weekend. We're so stoked to have those guys on board. And Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. Whether it's the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, the GOAT of electric razor trimmers, my favorite, the Beard Hedger Pro Kit from Manscaped, or the best nose hair trimmer ever created, the Weed Whacker 2.0, get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. So rad that Manscaped is continuing to invest in ATV racing as a longtime partner of Digging Deep. Help us keep them in the fold and involved in ATV racing by using our Digging Deep 20 code so they know you enjoy Digging Deep and what we're all about. Support all the great companies that support us, and for any products that fall through the cracks, click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner on our website to help us out. The 2024 season is here, and no matter what off-road gear parts you need, Rocky Mountain ATVMC has you covered. But before you buy, simply click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner on our website. By using our specific link, we get a percentage of what you buy on the back end, enabling you to help us out while purchasing the parts you need anyway. And did you know you can buy OEM parts from Rocky Mountain ATVMC as well? Yep, shipped conveniently right to your door. So click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner at diggingdeepatvmx.com to help us out while satisfying all your gear and parts needs. No new donors to shout out this week, but shout out to all of our donors. And if you are interested in donating and hearing your name on the show, you can find the Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee donation links on our website. Major thanks to all who have donated. Now, if you can't donate, but you still want to help us out, you can leave us a rating or review on iTunes and Spotify. That helps us out a bunch too. Now it's showtime. The 30-second board is up, it's sideways, and the gate is down. Time to dig deep.
Let's go!
All right, guys, we're back here on the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast for our first full-on ATV Motocross National Championship race review show of 2024. Hard to believe it. It feels like Loretta's was just yesterday. But pros and amateurs alike flocked to Texas and Underground MX for round one for the amateurs, round two for the pros. And there's probably nobody better to help break down the action with me from the Lone Star State than tonight's guest, brought to you by the D6 Ultimate Quad Series, whose schedule heads to Sleepy Hollow MX this weekend in Fredericksburg, PA. Sounds like the place to be this weekend, April 13th and 14th. I am happy to be joined by announcer for the Texas National for the second consecutive year, Miss Eliza Capen. Eliza, welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It was a great weekend as always. And what better way to break it down than with you?
So I was just telling you, I know this now from Briarcliff last year, but there is nobody, I'm confident, there's nobody that sees more laps, watches every rider. There's no person that sees more racing on a weekend like that than the announcer in the tower. So like I said, I don't think that anybody's more qualified to talk about the races than you, Eliza.
Well, see, you did it last year at Briarcliff, and then now I did it at Underground again this season, and you have to keep your eye on the whole track the whole weekend just to get everybody.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the thing that you had going on that was different than what I had going on, so I don't know if it's a pro or a con, but you were pretty much the only person in the booth, right? Like, you were the only person talking for, I mean, the most of the weekend, if I picked up on kind of what was going on there.
For the most part, I had Chris, who owns DeSoto BMX right by Underground, who was out there helping out for a bit, but he was still learning about the quad side of things and who was who and all the riders to where, like, for example, in that pro class, I could pick up every rider by their style, the gear and all of that. So I ended up being the main one.
Got it. Yeah. For me, when I was doing this at Briarcliff, it was so hard because we've talked about this on the show dating back to last season, but the mic situation was a little suspect. So we had two mics, but they didn't work. So Kevin and I had to be on the same mic, and it only worked facing one direction. So we had to kind of be facing away from the racetrack. So none of that was ideal. And I thought to myself, is, you know, and obviously it was great to have Kevin. He knows what he's doing. He can probably do it in his sleep, but I'm thinking, I don't know, especially with sharing a mic. I'm like, I don't know if I would be better if it was just me, like just me just chatting about the races. And then on Sunday he did the podium thing and I stayed up in the tower by myself. And I felt like I found even a better flow just because I was able to kind of do my thing and talk about the races and, you know, kind of go on some tangents and talk about people and not be so like, you know, by the book, what was going on the racetrack. But it's funny how that works. And that was something I was going to kind of say as we got into, you know, the weekend here is like, I don't even know how to explain how it felt when I got done, like on Saturday or Sunday. It was almost like I was so spent and I didn't know how to like evaluate how I did at all. I was just kind of like numb. I'm like, I don't know if I did good. I don't know if I did bad. I was just up there talking about the races.
Yep.
And until enough people were like, man, you killed it. And I was getting messages and comments and even then going to Loretta's the next week and having people say, man, it's not going to be the same without you, you know, announcing and all those things. Like, I guess where I'm going with all this is that it's very hard. You just talk and talk and talk and talk. And it's hard to quantify if you're doing good, if you're doing bad, are you saying the same things? How's your voice inflection? All of that stuff. It's just a very hard thing to have a handle on when you're talking for like 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever the number of hours is. Straight. It's not an easy thing to do at all.
No, especially when we had crazy wind on Saturday. So I wasn't even sure if the mic was picking up everything or anything like that. It was so windy and the guys were still jumping everything, which was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that's a whole nother factor for sure. But pretty rad that you got the opportunity to come back and do this again this season. I know last year you kind of got thrust in there and obviously really enjoyed it. So stoked to have you back this year to do that. And lucky that the schedule worked out the way that it did, because Supercross had a break this past weekend. And yes, that's correct. Listeners, Eliza's on the Supercross tour. Tell me about that and how that opportunity came about and kind of give me the whole 411 on that, Eliza.
It's been such an awesome journey and all the people that are with Supercross are just amazing. Everybody looking out for everybody. But originally I was going to announce for the whole season of ATV motocross, but then some things were coming up with school and everything. And I found out about the Supercross opportunity, reached out to the right people and we got the ball rolling. And less than a month later, I was on my flight out to Anaheim 1 and getting to meet everybody for the first time. And it was like that long lost family. Everybody gets along so well right off the bat. Everybody looks out for each other and they're long, grueling weekends, but they're so worth it when you see the races and you see those podiums at the end of the day on Saturday, I should say. Mm-hmm. So, but overall, it's a great crew, great journey. It's such a good learning experience as well for the marketing side of things, getting to learn about the broadcast side of things and PR and all that stuff that you don't traditionally see at an ATV motocross, especially being out in the booth.
Yeah, no doubt. I think there's a lot of people connected to ATV racing over there, obviously with Harv and Zach Kaczmarek's sister Kat being a part of all that. And I know that she's really rose up the ranks there doing her thing. But yeah, so tell me about like what's your role? Like how does I know, so it's Tuesday as we sit here. You told me you fly out tomorrow. So take me through kind of what that's like from the time you leave and all your obligations. And I've seen you on the TV near the podium on Saturday nights or whatever. So kind of take me through that.
Yeah, so Wednesday we'll fly out to the venues. Thursday and Friday is basically setting everything up. Saturday morning we get there right and early. We'll do a whole bunch of interviews for Race Day Live, and we'll set everything up for the night show. That way it can run without any issues, run flawlessly. And you'll most often see me down by the podium by TJ. We both run the podium for the night shows, so all your trophies, all your champagne, all those extra interviews up there, and just making sure everything it goes off without a hitch.
Got it. Well, what an awesome opportunity. I can't imagine. I mean, as a racing person, especially to be totally into that whole world, obviously, I've said a million times on my show how much I love the two-wheel side. And then, all the stuff you're learning in a business sense. I know you're going to school for some of this stuff. So, I mean, I can't imagine a better opportunity than to travel and see all these places I'm sure you've never been and all these cool stadiums. I mean, all that stuff. What an amazing opportunity. It's got to be the opportunity of a lifetime.
Oh yeah, especially finishing up school. I'll be done here this summer, which could not be
Wow.
more excited to be done with that. So
Congrats. That's
really being able
great.
to tie it all in with announcing this weekend and then Supercross every other week and then school. It's a great time.
Wow, what a time to be alive. That's amazing. So then you get asked to, you were kind of lining up and you had sent me some messages in the wintertime or whatever that it was possibly looking like you were going to do the announcing thing at the ATV Nationals full time. So then at what point do you realize that there's a break and you're going to be able to do the Texas race?
I think, I'm trying to remember, I think it may have been Anaheim 2 Triple Crown because Harv Whipple was out there for the Supercross Futures, and we were looking at the schedule and we had realized that that weekend was an off weekend for Supercross and we would both be at the Texas National because I was going to go watch regardless. It's
Of
right down the
course.
road from home, can't miss it. And once we realized that I would be able to do it, we reached out to Michelle and Dee, the promoters, and we made it all work out.
Well, that's an awesome thing to hear. So, second time around, how did it go? Like I just said, I know it's hard to have a feel for it as it's going on, but as time has went by, how do you feel about it? Second time around, I mean, probably more comfortable, I would think. I know, like I said last year, you kind of thrust right into there. I would think you're more comfortable doing it. It sounded as if you were. And like I said, I know that for me, it was a very hard thing to know how I was doing in the moment. Like I was. It's like I was tired of hearing myself talk, I think. But yeah, I'm sure you had a blast doing it.
Oh yeah, of course. And I mean, last year I learned a lot from Kevin Bailey. I mean, yeah, I got thrown into it, but he explained a lot about it. And this year, just going up there Friday for practices, it came natural and
Awesome.
did really well with it. And then Saturday still rolled through it. And then Sunday people started giving feedback and, oh, this is great. And then
Nice.
unfortunately I forgot to turn quad radio back on for Sunday.
Oh,
Dang
shoot.
it. But at least it was on for Saturday with all the pros and pro sport and all of that. So it was good. I enjoyed it. I would do another one.
Awesome. Yeah. And I didn't even realize that quad radio wasn't on for Sunday. We had it on all day Saturday. And then, I don't know that that's true. It worked a little bit on Sunday because I listened to the Pro-Am First Moto. So something was broadcasting
Okay.
the Pro-Am First Moto on Sunday because I know I listened to it. But yeah, either way, it was awesome. And what a great time to be you with all the stuff going on there. But Eliza, I wasn't there, but it sure seemed like everybody down there, you included, were blessed with perfect weather this weekend. You said it was a little breezy. I obviously picked up on that watching the races and kind of listening to you guys talk. But it sure looked like a picturesque weekend down there in Texas. We've had some rain down there when I've been there in the past, and it seems like it's been wet a lot of times and deep a lot of times and all those things, but it sure looked perfect this weekend.
It was nice. I mean, we were supposed to have an ATV open ride day 2 weeks ago, but we just had so much rain, they couldn't even get them out there. And then for this weekend to be as perfect as it was, there was just enough clouds on Saturday to give a little bit of shade, but
Perfect.
the weather was perfect. It was nice and warm, and it was just a great weekend.
Well, that's all you can ask for. I just kept looking at the weather, and especially I got some clips saved up, some old clips. I like to post the clips from 20 years ago on the Digging Deep pages, and I got some Texas clips, and it seemed like it was always wet in Texas. Now I know 20 years ago they raced in like February, but just always wet in Texas. So I was watching the action this past weekend, thinking, man, it doesn't get any better than that. So I'm glad that that worked out. Track was awesome, and as far as pro class racing goes, Eliza, I think this was about as steady and about as expected of a weekend as we've had in as long as we've been covering the races at Digging Deep. Kind of from top to bottom, I'm not saying it wasn't good racing because it was, and everybody was ripping, and there wasn't, I say this so often, but there was no like average Joes out there to make the guys out front look as fast as they were going. Like you only had the cream of the crop, but it just felt like everybody kind of fell where they were gonna slot in. There was no major surprises. There was no like I don't know how to say it other than like things kind of went as expected. I don't know if that's how it looked to you from the tower, but for me it was like, man, pretty much everything went exactly how I think, a lot of us thought it was going to, at least.
Well, I think Brandon surprised a couple of us, except with his ride from Daytona, you couldn't count him out. I mean, he was looking really good on that Westland Motorsports bike, and he's got everything dialed now. And then Bryce looked good. It's his home track. He's always done pretty well there. Mason Jackson did pretty good, though. He kind of rode right where Joseph Chambers did at Daytona, I think 8-8 for eighth overall. He rode really well.
He did. Yep, he did. No, and there's, and it's not, I'm not saying that there wasn't good performances, because you just named a decent amount of them. Because I mean, Joel was amazing this weekend. He's always amazing. Brandon was super impressive. He built on the foundation he laid at the first round there. Bryce, you talked to him on the podium. Bryce wasn't happy. But that shows you, and we'll get into more of this, but that shows you where Bryce is right now in his career, that he wants more than just being a podium guy. Wesley Wolf, I had people telling me that he was as impressive as anybody on the weekend. He finished fourth overall, which was incredible. Nick Janusa finished fifth overall, and he was super impressive, specifically in the second moto. He was fourth in the second moto, and I thought that it was going to work out that he was going to finish fourth overall, and the math just didn't work out that way. Max Lindquist ends up sixth overall, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, jumping right to the results here, but Max went 5-5, kind of gets shafted on how the overalls work. But he goes 5-5 for sixth overall, and I think it was the best weekend that we've seen from Max in maybe a season long kind of stint here, where last year he struggled and he really performed this past weekend. So I'm not trying to say there wasn't good races and or good performances and all those things, but it was just like we saw good pace or great pace, fast pace, but it just seemed like there wasn't tons of battles going on. Like, I
That's
don't,
true.
you know what I mean? And maybe that's why I feel that way, is everybody was just kind of doing their thing. There wasn't giant gaps or anything like that, but it was like everybody just kind of stayed where they were.
Especially the second moto, that's kind of where everybody just kind of stayed where they were. First moto, I think there was like a little bit of battles towards the end of it between, I'd say, Mason Jackson through Aaron Salinas. There was some decent battles, but I think that second moto, they pretty much everybody kind of rode where they were the whole race.
And I was kind of trying to figure out, because I think, I mean, I like that Texas track. I like underground just as much as any track on the circuit. I've always loved it there, but everything is so big and so spread out that I was like, does that maybe have an impact, on the riders maybe getting a little bit separated and, kind of just doing their own thing? I don't know.
I think, especially when you consider that quad on the backside, because some of the guys were jumping it every lap and then some others were doubling it here and there. So, especially when you have those bigger jumps where you can make up a lot of time or you can lose a lot of time on those jumps, that's definitely where it comes into factor. Because I don't know exactly how long the underground track is, but I've rode that track several times. That is a long track.
Oh, when you have pro riders doing 2+ minute lap times, yeah, that is a really, really long track.
We'll get right back to the show, but now a word from our sponsors. And thank you for listening to these ads. Without these great companies, none of this would be possible. Show your support for the people who support us. The official tire choice of Digging Deep, CST tires are the choice of ATV racing's elite on the track, in the woods, and every other terrain. CST tires swept the ATV racing world in 2022 as Joel Hetrick, Bryson Neal, and Bo Barron rode their Pulse MXR and Pulse HT tires to an ATV Pro Motocross title, GNCC XC1 Pro title, and 10th ATV Pro Works Racing title, respectfully. Led by champion Joel Hetrick and podium contenders Bryce Ford, Jeffrey Rastrelli, and Nick Janusa, CST's Pulse MXR tire is the most trusted tire in ATV Motocross today. Available in soft and standard compounds, the Pulse MXR offers the highest level of traction, most predictable cornering, and superior wear characteristics when compared to the competition. And did I mention they have a contingency program as well? Visit shop.csttires.com to join the CST Takeover today, or prepare to be beat by someone who did. The best of the best choose CST. Do you? You know we're Team Blue Crew here at the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, as the Yamaha YFZ450R is the official ATV of Digging Deep. In a move started by 8-time ATV MX Pro Class National Champion Chad Weenan, who with his next championship will become the winningest champion in ATV motocross history, we are living in ATV Racing's YFZ450R era. Alongside Weenan, 7-time GNCC XC1 Pro ATV National Champion Walker Fowler welcomed a pair of new champions to the Yamaha Champions Club, as the podium-proven Yamaha YFZ450R proved to be the winning choice for Joel Hetrick and Bryson Neal. This unprecedented success for the YFZ450R, its unrivaled quality and performance, and the clear fact that Yamaha is the leading OEM supporter of ATV racing has resulted in a complete Yamaha takeover within the sport quad market. Evident by the continuation of Yamaha's Blue Crew Racer Support Program, Yamaha riders will once again cash in on payout and prize opportunities in 2023, including a chance to win a brand new YFZ450R. For more info, head over to YamahaBlueCrew.com. Follow Yamaha Outdoors, as well as the new Blue Crew official channel on social media, and check out Yamaha's full proven off-road lineup at YamahaOutdoors.com today. SSI decals, your way. SSI Decals sets the standard with the best looking decals, graphics kits, and vinyl wraps in the industry. Established in 1947, SSI took shape as an offshoot of their parent company by doing a little work for local pro Chad Weenan. Nearly two decades later, and fueled by a passion for ATVs, the company has flourished into one of ATV Moto's most recognized brands. From ATV Motocross, SSI has expanded into graphics and design work for top racers in GNCC, Works Racing, Pro Motocross and Supercross, off-road, and more, headlined by 8-time world champion Top Fuel drag racer Clay Milliken. Whether your project is big or small, SSI Decals will make your identity stick. Get started today at SSIDecals.com and use code DIGGINGDEEP10 for 10% off at checkout. Things are about to get sick. The Digging Deep ATV MX podcast is brought to you in part by DID and their wide range of championship-winning chains. From the street to the track and everywhere in between, DID chains are designed to give you the optimal riding experience with great performance and increased chain life. Consistent to the core, pick up your box of reliability today. DID, what drives you?
We are proud to be partnered with Nomura Technologies. For over 20 years, Nomura has pushed the limit of value and reliability in the ATV and side-by-side market. Covering more applications than anyone in the industry, Nomura's full line of cast and forged pistons, connecting rods, gasket kits, and industry-leading top-end repair kits and more have led to higher overall engine performance for your machine. Visit your local dealer or online at www.nomura.com. And follow along on Instagram for giveaways and exciting new products in 2023. Nomura Technologies, your one-stop shop engine component supplier.
We are pleased to be partnered with Bronco ATV and UTV Components. Bronco has been an industry leader in replacement hard parts and accessories for all makes and models for over 15 years. With a catalog that includes a full line of electrical components, engine internals and cylinders, shock and suspension parts, winches, clutch kits, valves, carb kits, bearing kits, and drive chain parts, Bronco is your hard part source for whatever you need for whatever you ride. Available exclusively through distributors around the world, visit your local dealer or online at BroncoATV.com.
For over 150 years, Valvoline has been dedicated to constant improvement and innovation across all disciplines of racing. As a proud member of Team Valvoline for nearly a decade, I have witnessed their unwavering commitment to pushing the boundaries of performance. Valvoline has sponsored some of the greatest names in motorsports, solidifying their position as a powerhouse within the industry. Being a part of this historically great team has been an incredible privilege. When it comes to my equipment, whether it's my daily commuting vehicles, race quads, or anything in between, I trust nothing but Valvoline. Their range of products and lubricants consistently deliver increased horsepower, durability, and engine life. I'm excited to announce Valvoline's breakthrough in performance, Valvoline Ultimate Power Sports. With up to 8 times stronger rust protection and 50% better wear protection, this cutting-edge formula ensures your ATV's engine runs smoother and longer for the ultimate ride. Tackle rugged terrains with confidence, knowing your ATV's engine is equipped with the best protection available. Ready to experience the next level of performance? Head over to shop.valvolineglobal.com and use code DIGGINGDEEP10 at checkout to unlock an exclusive 10% off on your purchase. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to enhance your ATV's performance with Valvoline's Ultimate Power Sports Engine Oil.
Obviously, when we talk about the pro class racing, got to start with Joel Hattrick. Like I just said, I don't know that we need to go over the racing blow by blow for every lap, because like we just said, it was kind of, things just kind of played out the way they did. There wasn't tons of dicing going on, but Joel Hattrick, got to start with him. Obviously, Joel topped the qualifiers. He won both motos. He earned, I said this on social media already, but he earned his 59th career overall victory and has led every lap this season, except for the first lap of the opening moto on Saturday. He simply makes it look so damn easy, Eliza. From the pass he made on Brandon Hoge, I think that would have been the start of the second moto, around the outside, down kind of before the big triple jump, down at the bottom of the racetrack. That was so impressive. It made me stand up out of my seat. The way that he was doubling into the whoop section in front of you and then tire tapping one in the middle of there to kind of do like a little get over like three of them. I just, what he's doing, he looks like an alien and he makes it look so freaking easy. Like he's so in control. He never gets sketchy. The Joel Hattrick we knew, 10 years ago, it's unrecognizable to the guy that we see today. He just hits his marks over and over and over and over and over again. And it's hard to not think like, is this, and I've said it a few times now on social media, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I have so much respect for these racers in this class and how fast it is and the way that everybody's leveling up. It seems to me like every rider is. But I have a hard time thinking that this guy's going to get beat in any moto. Unless something crazy happens, if everything goes according to plan, which is maybe an easy thing to say, but nobody's going to beat this guy. I feel like he's got, and I've said this, I feel like for seasons, multiple seasons, at least since he's been on the Yamaha, but I think this dude could go 2 seconds a lap faster if he had to.
Oh, 100%. I agree. And I mean, Bryce and Chad were the only ones that were able to beat him last year, but with, it seems like he's taking it up just a little bit more. He needed this season and he's got that pack. He's figured out that bike. He looks like it's a toy to him. He's got such good control of that machine, especially going through even the biggest of ruts and biggest of braking bumps and stuff. He just throws that quad around like it's nothing.
Yeah. And I've been trying to, I mean, yes, he's so capable. He's more than capable of going undefeated. Like I truly believe that. And it's maybe one of the things, at least as far as I've been, you know, as long as I've been following this sport, as long as I've basically been alive, like I don't know that we've ever really seen anything like that. So maybe that would be something. Like I want to see the guy get challenged. I really do. But it would also be cool to see him just win and win and win, I guess, too. Like we've basically seen everything else at this point. But yeah, so much control. He's just amazing. He is on another level than we've ever even seen him before. And I can't imagine what it must feel like to have that much control over the machine, the way that he can literally make that thing do whatever he wants. And I know that comes with, I mean, he's more naturally talented than probably anybody ever, but just, he's got so much training and so much time and so much built up muscle memory and so many laps, and he's got such a great program. Phoenix has it so figured out. I have so much respect for him. I don't even know what to say about the guy anymore. You know, like he is so locked in and so perfect. Like I said, I think he's going to do it. Like there's been people on these shows for 5 years saying this is the year he goes undefeated. And I've been trying to figure out, and I guess this is where I was going when I went on this diatribe, but I've been trying to like almost back this back, because
Chad, it took until the last moto of the season for him to beat Joel last year. So like Chad being gone, I don't know how much it changes. I really don't. I think I was hoping that Chad was going to be better this year than he was last year because he was hurt last year and he was dealing with all that and racing through it and all those things. But maybe even just the threat of Chad being there, knowing that he's beat Joel for 50 overalls or whatever the number is, 55, 60 overalls. Just knowing that he could do it, having that on the gate with Joel at the same time was a meaningful thing. And now it's like, I don't know. Like, again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to discredit anybody because the class is amazing. But I was looking at pictures of those guys standing on the gate and during the riders meeting with Harv. And I thought to myself, as Joel's standing there and his arms are on his hips or whatever, hands are on his hips. And I'm thinking, is he just thinking like, no one of these guys even got nothing for me, you know? Like, I'm just thinking, like, what is he thinking right now?
Well, because Chad could at least give him the mind games of, oh, I beat you before and I can do it again.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. And I don't want to disrespect anybody because they're all amazing. Right. And the class is so damn good. But it's like, I just wish I knew what Joel was thinking, because now, like, we had been targeting, like, if he won basically all the motos, there are all the races this year, all the overalls, he was going to overtake Chad for career overall wins. And now it's like, I don't even know if anybody stands in the way. You know, and it's just going to be really fun to see how this plays out. But in the meantime, I'm just going to take in every second of watching this guy ride his YFZ450R, man, because it's just so much fun to watch how much control he is in and all the speed that he seems like he's still got in the reservoir if he needs to pull it out. And I hope somebody pushes him because something happens. He stalls it in a corner early in the races or something, because I want to see him have to go into his bag. But he's been so good at getting hole shots, getting a 10-second lead, and then maintaining that 10-second lead. We've seen him do it for a couple seasons now. And like I said, I'm basically speechless because the guy is so in control.
I think we were looking at it lap by lap. He was gaining 2 seconds on Brandon Hoge every single lap consistently.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And both of them were pulling consistent lap times.
It's amazing. Yeah. So credit to Joel Hetrick. He was the man to beat for sure in Texas, and going to be interesting to see how this bodes going forward for him. Brandon Hoge was the next best guy all day. He was the next best guy all day. He was essentially second all day as well. He started, I think he ripped the hole shot there in the second moto. But Brandon Hoge was clearly the next best guy all day. He did have to make a pass on Bryce Ford, I think, in the first moto, because Bryce would have got the hole shot in the first moto and led that opening lap to steal the first lap led away from Hetrick on the season there. But Brandon eventually goes on to earn back-to-back podiums for just the second time in his career. He's now sitting second in points, and he may be, we just went on this thing about how good Joel Hetrick is and how fast he is and all the speed he's got and all these things. Brandon Hoge may be the most formidable challenger to Hetrick as the season starts to bloom here, like I teased on social media earlier today. I mean, Brandon, we've heard him say before that that's his goal. His goal is to be the guy that can knock off Joel. He thinks he should be able to go as fast as Joel is going. And, you know, as ATV racing enthusiasts, I think we got to hope that he's got something for Joel, so he makes it interesting for us. But Brandon's been on a tear. He had an awesome weekend, and he's had the best start to a season that we've ever seen him have. Even in his 2022 season, that was really, really strong, where we saw him finish third in points early in the season, was not where he was super, super strong. And if he continues to get stronger and stronger as the season goes here, it's going to be really fun to watch for us.
Oh, for sure. Especially now that he's kind of gone back and he's tweaked his program to where he likes it, and you can tell he's happy with it.
Yeah, for sure. And they told me at Daytona that the Westland Motorsports guys over there and Luke Nixon told me that they're so much happier with where the program is today versus a year ago at this time. And I talked to Brandon. I'm like, remember telling him last year, it's going to take a year to figure some stuff out with a brand new race team and a new quad and new components and all these things. So really exciting to see where those guys are, and stoked that Brandon is doing as well as he is. Bryce Ford ends up third overall. He earned back-to-back podiums for himself as well, just like Brandon Hoge. He was third basically all day, where Brandon was second all day. Bryce was kind of third all day, ripped the whole shot in that first moto, led the first lap there. And I think Brandon and Bryce both felt better in the second moto. I think that Bryce stayed up on Brandon longer in the second moto, and Brandon was stoked to keep Joel in his sights a little longer in that second moto. But from the podium, Bryce was not a happy camper, which, like I said earlier, I think that that tells you where his expectations are in this 2024 season. But he's not happy at all with a 3-3 finish right now. So yeah, he was not having it on the podium. That's for sure.
He was not. He was mad. But hey, that's how you learn and that's how you improve for future races. But at least he was able to salvage that 3-3 on the day. I mean, you can't hope for anything worse. I mean, that's still a podium finish in the long run of the season. Points are points.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of is funny to think about how quickly things change. I mean, it wasn't long ago at all where we were thinking about, man, where's he going to fit in the pro class? And then to thinking about, you know, he was running near the top three. I think he got fourth at his first pro race at Daytona in 2020, I think that would have been. And yeah, now he's a guy who is not at all happy with podiums. And I think, what did we say it was for him? 16 podiums or something like that. So yeah, we're a little ways into his career now, and podiums are not good enough, but that just shows you what his end goal is. And it's going to be fun to see him. He's going to be fiery as the season kind of plays out here. So, and I know that he likes the sand. I mean, he trains in sand down there where you guys come from, and he got a little bit of it there at Underground. He's going to have a lot of it at Etchikani. So we'll see what these boys got in store. We touched a little bit on this earlier. Wesley Wolf ends up fourth overall. He was fast all day. Super, super impressive. I had people telling me that they were more impressed with him than anyone else on the weekend. Right around the top five in qualifying. Impressive fourth place in Moto 1. Strong sixth in Moto 2 for fourth overall. Man, he was impressive. So Eliza, I'll let you kind of pick up where I left off. But Wesley Wolf, man, might have been the most impressive rider of the weekend.
Oh, he was super consistent every lap. He looked like he belonged in that front pack. And he was battling right there in that fourth, fifth position, that first moto. And he made that fourth his spot.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to say it, because he was kind of all alone in fourth. And he was right there on Bryce, who was in third.
Yep. It was a good moto, especially for Wesley. A great showing. I mean, he's the blue collar guy out there. He's the one working on the houses and then right, coming out and racing. And here he pulls off the fourth in the first moto.
Yeah, and he was so strong a few years ago, and then he had that gnarly crash, and it took him a good year or year and a half to come back from that. I know he had multiple surgeries and all those things, and I was worried that we were just going to not see him at the races anymore. I just thought he was going to hang it up, and now I feel like my dad told me last Saturday, he goes, Wesley's riding better than he's ever ridden, and I think that that's right. You know, the class is so damn good right now, and yet he's back in the mix near the podium, and if he keeps riding like this, he will get a podium. I have no doubt in my mind. And I think I picked up on the fact that he coming leading up to this round had spent some more time down at JH's, down at Johnny's. And it seemed to me like, I mean, obviously the way we saw him ride on the weekend, maybe he should go back and do that a little more often. Cause man, he was freaking flying. I was just stoked to see it for Wesley.
Oh, yeah, he was right there with Rastrelli and Janusa, because you'll always see Rastrelli and Janusa battling it out, but having Wesley in the mix, it was great.
Yeah, I love to see it. You just touched on Nick Janusa. He put up his customary hard-fought top five performance. I think many people, including myself at the time, in the moment, thought that his 7-4 was going to be good enough for fourth overall, but Wesley actually edged him just by 1 point. I think it was like 33 or 34 versus 32 or 33. He just edged them guys by 1 point for the fourth place overall spot. But nonetheless, killer ride for Nick. I was even getting messages on the Digging Deep page. It's like, hey, I think the math is wrong. I think Janusa should actually be fourth overall. And it's not the way it worked out. But Nick too had a really good ride, especially that second moto where he ends up fourth in that moto and fifth overall. He's always top five, but this was not one of those customary top five rides. He was really impressive in that second moto for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I mean, he's usually your safe bet on top five. He's just so consistent race after race, season after season. Yes. But this year he looks really good out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, credit to Nick for sure. We already touched on this a little bit, but Max Lindquist, he had one of the best days that we've seen him have in a long time. 5-5 on the day, kind of gets, like I said, he kind of got shafted in the overall department with the 5-5 scores for sixth, but the moto scores are what pay for points anyway. So really the overall doesn't matter unless it's for a podium spot. And Max Lindquist looks to have put 2023 behind him. I know that talking to his family at the opener at Daytona there in the garages, they were in a really, really good spot. They were really happy kind of going back to the program that he had when he first went pro, a very Chad Weenan-like program, running Chad Weenan's components and all of that setup. And they're very happy to be back where they were before. And it's showing on the racetrack because he battled to the death with Wesley at the opener. Both of those two riders are flying. And now he was 5-5 in the both motos there in Texas at round two. And I think he's only going to keep getting better. Feel like us Northern riders, the farther into the season we go, you know, you're just going to get better and stronger. So credit to Max Lindquist. He was fired this past weekend. He's been good all season here, and more podiums could be in his future if he continues this riding for sure. I'd love seeing the number two up there.
Oh yeah. And like you said, they went back to that, getting some of the Weenan Motorsports components, and even just getting that feedback helps a ton. I'm sure he'll be back on the podium just like he was back in 22. He's going back to that riding style and he's getting consistent again.
He looks like that rider from 2022. So I love to see that because I think that that kid is just about as talented and headstrong and hungry as just about anybody. Kind of that same mold of the Brandon Hoges and Bryce Ford. So I love to see that.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
The following message is brought to you by Manscaped.com. The Manscaped engineering team has outdone themselves this time, creating the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, now available for purchase in the U.S. and Canada. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, an official sponsor of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, with this exclusive offer of 20% off and free worldwide shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0 and I am blown away. This thing is next level. What sets this trimmer apart from all the rest? The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. It features a new multi-functioning on-off switch with travel lock for those of us who like to travel. And my favorite, the new trimmer allows you to customize your trim with four different guard lengths, an upgrade from its predecessor that only featured two. If you're listening, you know that good tools are a must, so wait no more to get the best tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com by using code DIGGINGDEEP20.
Hey everyone, this is Larry Mills, president of DP Brakes North America and proud partner of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast. We at DP Brakes are a longtime supporter of ATV racing and the world leader in centered brake technology, dominating the ATV world for decades by supporting the best four-wheel racers on the planet. This year's lineup includes Jeff Rastrelli, Mark Baldwin and Baldwin Motorsports, Ford Brothers Racing, Nick Janusa, and many more, including Mr. Digging Deep himself, Cody Jansen. Plus all the top 17 GNCC pros, such as seven-time champion Walker Fowler, Bryson Neal, Hunter Hart, Cole Richardson, Jared McClure, Adam McGill, and previous champion Chris Borch. These top riders continue to appreciate the high performance and impressive durability that their DP brakes have to offer, products that ultimately help place them on top of the podium week after week. DP Brakes are available through www.dp-brakes.com, or you can purchase them through your local Parts Unlimited stocking dealer, or you can even message us, myself, Larry Mills, or DP Brakes on Instagram or Facebook. And if you have any questions about product or sponsorship support, please ask us. We are waiting for you. Join the best ATV riders in the world equipped with DP Brakes, and have a great year, everyone.
Nearing two decades into the brand's existence, Factory 43 is back and better than ever, continuing to make major waves in the ATV world. For the third consecutive season, Factory 43 is the official aluminum parts choice of the Phoenix Racing ATV team, providing their state-of-the-art Evo Nerf bars, MX-style front bumpers, and grab bars for two-time champ Joel Hetrick. If you're in the market to upgrade your Nerf bars, bumpers, or grab bars, head over to factory43atv.com to see their full line of industry-leading products available for all makes and models. Head over to factory43atv.com today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Stillo, director of the D6 Ultimate Quad Series. We've been working hard over the years to bring you the very best in local ATV motocross racing. The D6 Ultimate Quad Series has race classes for all ages and skill levels. Maybe you're an experienced rider or you're just starting out, we have a class for you. We're excited to announce that we have 11 rounds of racing at tracks located in Pennsylvania, New York, and Maryland. For more information, follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Seventh place was Jeffrey Rastrelli. Kind of a quiet day for Jeffrey. He was 6-7. He was fifth in qualifying, sixth in first moto, seventh in the second moto. Not what he wanted, but I would expect that Jeffrey, he's going to come out swinging at Etchikani, I think. Florida boy, I think that he's going to turn it up in the sand there, kind of down towards home. And he podiumed there the last time that we raced at Etchikani in 2015 or whatever that would have been. And I have high hopes and high expectations for Jeffrey at round three, but for round two, it's a seventh for Jeffrey, and sure, not what he wanted. I haven't talked to him, but I'm sure he's not stoked about that.
It's still the points, though. He still made decent points, and going into the next round, that sand, he's always done good in the sand. And I mean, like you said, he podiumed there last time they were out there, so having that positive memory of being there, she's going to help him set up his program going into it.
It's one of those things when you, because he wasn't stoked about Daytona either. Now he put on a good face for our post-race interview, and he just said, you know, I had a motor going in the heat race, didn't set me up with a good starting spot for the main event. I had to fight my way through, and I think he finished seventh at the opener there as well. But he's going to want to go to round three, kind of flush these first two rounds. And if you can do that, you can put it all behind you. You know, you put yourself back in the top five, near the podium or on the podium, you're going to forget all this, and the rest of the season is going to look like a land of opportunity. But until then, he's not going to be happy. I'm sure he's grinding his tail off right now, heading up to round three. Eighth place, you already mentioned this guy. Eighth overall is Mason Jackson in his second race, I guess, as a pro. Daytona didn't go according to plan, but in the second race as a pro, he goes 8-8 for eighth overall. His first top 10 of his pro career. He was fire all day long. He was sitting top five in time qualifying for a while, which was so impressive. He was fast right from the jump. And yeah, this was the Mason Jackson I was expecting to see in his pro debut or pro rookie season here. And he delivered in Texas. So was 1 week late. He didn't do it at Daytona, but he sure showed up in Texas. And man, was he impressive. I love to see it, because I knew that he was going to be a guy that was going to, I just felt it, that he was a guy that was going to go from pro-am to pro and really, really make a mark in the pro class, really be a guy. And yeah, we saw it in Texas, and he proved me right, because he looked really, really strong, and I love to see it. I love that kid.
He looked just like he did last year in the second half of the season, that pro-am pro sport, when he came out and won the class. He looked the same, like just vibing with the tracks and just going to hammer it every lap after lap, and it was consistent.
I love it. I love it. I think that as he finds his footing even more and more here, he is going to be such a great addition to that pack ahead of him, of the Jeffrey Rastrellis, Max Lindquist, Nick Janusas, Wesley Wolf, all those guys. Maybe at some point, eventually, Bryce Ford and Brandon Hoge. I just think that he really fits in that group. If there's a type of guy or a type of rider that clearly makes up that next group of riders, he's built of that same mold, scrappy and fast and tough and, you know, just like mean almost, you know, on the racetrack. And I feel like he's part of that. So I can't wait to see him battle with those guys. And this was this weekend was a great kind of stepping stone into that. Ninth overall was Kevin Saar. He ends up ninth overall in the weekend, which is strong after the big crash that he had at Daytona. 10-9 for him. Super stoked about that. But yeah, he had that terrible crash at Daytona and comes back. It was in the mix this weekend, so I was stoked to see that. Cody Ford rounds out the top 10 on his home soil, home Texas soil for him. 9-10 scores for Cody Ford there. I know he's a Texas guy, Eliza, so you have a connection to him. They were rocking the Mavericks and Spurs graphics kits this weekend from Ian at SSI, which was cool. Cody Ford been solid all season here so far in the first two races. Top 10 at both of them, working the big equipment on the week and going racing on the weekend, putting it in the top 10. So I'll let you comment on those two guys. Kevin Saar from Estonia getting a ninth overall, and Cody Ford rounding out the top 10.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, Kevin actually had issues going into the qualifying. He didn't even go out right off the bat.
I think you're right, because he basically didn't even do a lap in the first qualifier.
Yeah, I think he was having issues, but then Jody, his mechanic, was able to get that bike going just the way he needed for those two motos and to pull out a great overall with the ninth. And then Cody, I mean, he's been working on those machines, and I think he might just be riding on the weekends at the moment. And for him to pull out two consistent top tens in a row, that's a great turnout for the guy.
Yeah, heck yeah, I love it. And I love the working man thing. You know, he said his business was doing really well, a business he started last year, and now riding here and there when he can and racing on the weekend. I love to see him doing as well as he is. Aaron Salinas, another Texas boy, fought until the bitter end to earn 11th overall. Adam Ulrich finished 12th overall. And Joe Chambers, after his stellar day at Daytona, super impressive. I believe he was the one that was in eighth there, the rookie that was in eighth at Daytona. He ends up 13th with 12-13 finishes there to round out our pro class. Let's then touch on the amateurs, Eliza, if you don't have anything to add at the end of the pro class there. And I want to start with Pro-Am. We were just talking about Mason Jackson, how well he did in the pro class. So not a surprise to see him picking up right where he left off a season ago as he tries to defend his title in the Pro-Am class. 1-1 for him, followed by Kevin Saar 2-2 and Jaden Launderville 3-3. That Pro-Am class is so fast. It's so fun to watch. Mason Jackson, class of the field. Kevin Saar put up a fight there, put some pressure on him going 2-2. And I love Jaden Launderville. He's one of my favorites of any rider at the races. And he was doing really well there too. So tell me about the Pro-Am action there on Sunday, the headliner of Sunday's ATV racing there at the Nationals.
I mean, those three guys up front, I mean, they were consistent. I mean, there was a little bit of a gap between them, except they kept that gap the same lap after lap. And Joey Norris was actually really impressive in that Pro-Am class. I mean, Moto One, he came out the whole shot and had a tumble. And then I believe he went from 17th up to 9th. And then he had another tumble where he ended up injuring his shoulder or collarbone. I'm not 100% sure. But then that second moto, he came back and worked all the way up to 5th.
Yeah, that's impressive. I was going to ask you what happened. I didn't catch what happened in the first moto there at the very beginning, but I knew that he got back up there and raced hard in that second moto. And kind of touching more on Joey, we saw him in the pro sport class basically put on a clinic on Saturday. He was the guy very much to beat. And I can't wait to see, you know, the Mason Jacksons, the Kevin Saars, the Jaden Laundervilles, and then the Joey Norrises put on a show like they did for us at Daytona. I want to see more of that. And I mean, the kid looks like he's not going to be denied. So credit to him for getting up, dusting himself off in Pro-Am and putting on a great fight there in the second moto. But on Saturday, when he was primed and ready to go and everything was perfect, man, he looked damn near unbeatable in pro sport.
He looked really good, especially I know last year he only did maybe two or three races. So technically, I guess, still a rookie into the pro sport Pro-Am, but he looked like he'd been in that class. He belongs there.
Dude is nuts. The kid is just extremely, extremely fast. So he goes 1-1 in pro sport. Jaden Launderville went 2-2. Another great ride for him. And Brett Musig ripped a couple hole shots like he always does. Goes 3-3 in pro sport. So that's another good podium there for those guys. Other riders who impressed me, Eliza, kind of looking at the results from the weekend. Damien Hubert graduated to the 450 this season. He went 1-1 in 450A. Shout out to Kinsey Osborne, who got fourth in that class. And speaking of Kinsey, that WMX class was one that I was very excited to watch because kind of renewed a rivalry. I don't know if rivalry is the right way to say, but a new, it kind of renewed whatever you want to call the dynamic between Kinsey Osborne and Natalie Jackson. Those two used to battle on 250s and the girls classes and stuff in the past, schoolgirl or whatever it's called. And Natalie was making the jump now to the WMX class now that she's of age to do so. And it sure seems like she's going to be Kinsey's biggest challenger. But Kinsey extended her winning streak to how many races? I know you were plugging it on the race weekend, but it's like 20 races or something. Right?
I went back and looked. It's 20 moto wins in a row.
Wow, that's impressive. So Kinsey Osborne gets the win, Natalie Jackson second, Olivia Joyner third. Great racing there, and it's going to be fun to watch maybe Kinsey get pushed a little bit by Natalie as she finds her footing on the 450. I love to see that. We all love to see great racing, and I love Kinsey, but obviously want to see some battling going on.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, just like Kinsey and Natalie used to do back in that schoolgirl class, Lillian Plaza and Tegan Bratcher doing the exact same thing now. It's like every moto, they were right there with each other, both in that women's 15 plus and schoolgirl.
Yeah, love to see that. Especially, it's just so good for the future of our sport on the female side. It's just it's a really great thing to see. And I think that's sometimes, like, we've seen Lillian Plaza and riders like her coming for a long time. Like, you know, she's going to be good at every step of the way. But I think that's the, you know, maybe we saw this with, you know, we saw Shaw win a championship years ago, and we saw how good Andrea Berger was for a lot of years. And then here comes Kinsey Osborne. And I feel like each one of those women just kind of ups the game, and it paves the way for the women that come behind them, the girls that come behind them. I mean, you know this, like you did a lot of racing yourself, and I know you probably have a soft spot for these classes. And I just feel like each one of them has been such a worthy champion and has done such a great job to kind of lead the charge and be a figure for like a figurehead, you know, for that side of the sport. And I just love to see it. And I think you're seeing these classes grow and these riders get so much faster. And I just love that for, like I said, for the women's, for the girls, for the female side of ATV racing. I absolutely love to see it. I'm glad that we're putting it more on a grander scale. And I love that, whether it's, you know, Jeremy at Briarcliff doing all the things that he does, and the wheels up, Brian Jenkins does such an awesome job, and just everybody involved, man, deserves so much credit. Cause I love to see it. That's why I make a point to talk about it on every one of these shows, because they deserve it, because that's the pinnacle. WMX on the women's side, we're seeing Kinsey now racing the A class, which is amazing. And, you know, I want to cover it every time she's out there doing it. But I want to make sure that WMX class gets as much coverage as it deserves, because that's the pinnacle for, you know, women and younger girls like you once were. Just want to make that into a big deal, like the AMA ATV Pro class almost is.
Right. And I mean, these girls are kicking butt every time they're out there. And I love that the WMX is doing the youth program where they're helping mentor some of these younger girls out there, helping showcase the way and help show them that WMX is going to be as big as it can be.
Success in the ATV MX world is similar to what creates financial success as well. The right people, the right advice, and more importantly, hard work and the benefit of an ongoing relationship as situations change and adversity is experienced. Do you have the right financial advisor to help you reach your goals? Haymauer Financial Group can create a personalized, goal-based plan to help your family prepare for whatever life brings. Call me, Scott Haymauer, at Haymauer Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, at 920-338-8150. That's 920-338-8150. Office is located in beautiful De Pere, Wisconsin, with registrations and clients nationwide.
Headlined by the 4130 Chromoly, Launderville Steel and Concrete Supply is a full-service steel supplier of new and surplus steel, aluminum, and stainless steel products. This racing family-owned full metal service center and concrete product supplier comes with over 30 years of experience serving the entire United States from their central Midwest location. As the number one choice for nationwide shipments and with available next-day delivery in select areas, LSE has you covered near or far. 4130 is not just the chromoly tubing and plate used in the building of chassis for an array of motorsports applications, but it is also the name of the newest addition to the Pro Paddock with riders Jaden JJ Launderville and Max Lindquist, introducing the new 4130 Motorsports team. Launderville Steel offers a large selection of material for any project, including their concrete division that can supply everything you need to complete your next business or personal project. For a quote or more info, visit LaundervilleSteel.com today or give them a call at 715-675-6193. That's 715-675-6193. Here at Digging Deep, we have an obvious passion for ATVs and pridefully enjoy sharing the sport's history. Since 2019, when the podcast was born, we've been working to partner with individuals who share our passion, but one man and his vision had been missing from our partnership group. Until now. When it comes to the sport's history, the hallowed grounds of Binky's Forever ATC Museum has it all. Binky Tapscott's mind-blowing collection of 3- and 4-wheelers has preserved history by spanning all makes and models from Honda 3-wheelers in chronological order to unique builds that shaped ATV racing as we know it, like Doug Gust's iconic DRZ-powered hybrid thumper and everything in between. There's no denying Binky's passion, a passion that we certainly relate to here at Digging Deep. Binky's goal is to share his amazing collection with fellow enthusiasts by making his prized possessions accessible to the public via scheduled visits. Follow Forever ATC Museum on Facebook and watch foreveratc.com for further updates on possibly getting a chance to see Binky's Forever ATC Museum for yourself. We are proud to welcome Binky's Forever ATC Museum to the Digging Deep family. As the number one podcast in ATV racing, it's only right that we partner with the industry leaders in suspension tuning. Insert Impact Solutions. Impact Solutions is a full-service ATV and side-by-side suspension center specializing in the revalving and service of your motocross and off-road suspension. With over 25 years of elite-level knowledge, experience, and testing with riders of all ages and ability levels, Jay Goble and the Impact crew strive to exceed clients' expectations for service and setup. Impact Solutions is the official Elka Suspension Service Center of the United States, offering unmatched product knowledge and experience. Whether you're in need of service, parts, warranty, sales, or technical support, Impact Solutions has you covered. Head over to ImpactSolutionsATV.com or give them a call today. With the desire to keep you in the race, Ultimate Poly Products offers the Ultimate Protection Collection of case savers, chain sliders, intake manifolds, and more. Founded on quality in 1998, this family-owned and operated business produces products created by racers for racers. These industry-leading products are proudly made and manufactured in the USA, with their case savers being made of the highest quality American-made polyurethane on the market and designed to completely conform to your engine case to help prevent case damage from a thrown chain, because no one wants to be a spectator on race day. Join top pro riders like Bryson Neal, Walker Fowler, John Glotta Jr., Adam McGill, Cole Richardson, and more by using UPP Racing products. Use discount code DIGGINGDEEP15 at uppracing.com to save on your next order. Ultimate Poly Products, made to last longer so you can ride more. Thanks for listening, and remember to support our partners. Now back to the show.
We're running out of time here, Eliza, but did anybody else that we didn't touch on stand out to you? Have we not touched on anybody that you want to?
Caden Dvorak.
Oh,
is monster. Like that new guy in the 250 monster classes. And then Styles West still dominating in the Super Mini and Schoolboy Junior. But the one guy who you touched about him on social media, Jaden Powell, had that major injury last year, came back with a 7th in Youth All-Star and 5th in Schoolboy Senior, which those are incredibly fast classes. And for him to just go right back in the class where he belongs, it was great to see that.
Yeah, Jaden Powell, man, I'm so glad you touched on it, because that was one of the last things I had here was to touch on him. What an amazing story. Kind of like we outlined on social media, he was laid up in a hospital bed, you know, in the fall. He was some really scary injuries. I didn't know if we were ever going to see him even ride again or worse. And now here's the first round of amateur racing, and the kid is such a talent. He's been awesome on mini bikes forever. And I know he won a championship maybe in like super mini last year or something like that. Or whatever class he was in. I know he was a champion because I saw him wearing the number one at Loretta's. And yeah, to come out and be back at the racetrack, it makes the hair on my arm stand up. It's just so amazing to see. Like, that's what it's all about. And I just give him and his family so much credit. There was people commenting on our social media posts saying, you know, give credit to his family too, because they had to see him get hurt and see him, you know, life be jeopardized and all these things. And then they had to say, hey, like, you can still go do this. Now, we're all wired that way, but still, like, credit to him, credit to his family. What an amazing story. And it wouldn't have been right to not touch on it. I'm so proud of him. And man, absolutely, absolutely love to see it.
Great ride from the kid. And I mean, you wouldn't even have known he was injured with how well he was riding this weekend. So it was just great to see him out there.
And just like you said, those classes are so damn fast. Like you said, Styles West, he reminds me kind of like the comment I made about Lillian Plaza. Always going to be at the front of the classes that they're racing. Just a true talent. He's, you know, kind of following in the footsteps of a rider like Bryce Ford or somebody who's just always like the guy and just seems like he's always going to be the guy. We saw riders like Landon Korn, 250 rider from a year ago. I know he got hurt, I believe, this last weekend. His mom said that they expect him to be in for the very next race. So I don't know if he's getting that broken collarbone plated or whatever, but yeah, we saw him lead laps and look like he was going to podium at Daytona. And that's how good these kids are now, coming off the 250 and going right to the top classes of amateur racing in Pro Sport and Pro-Am kind of being in the mix. And I'm sure we're going to see that from riders like Styles West someday. Caden Tverziak, I was telling my dad that those guys, I watched them last year, kind of watched him, and I watched him at the Briarcliff race, obviously from the tower. And then they came to our Digging Deep ride day at Briarcliff in the fall. And just, I found myself watching him, you know, constantly, because I was so impressed by how well he was riding. And I was telling my dad actually on Saturday, as we're kind of listening and, you know, kind of discussing what's going on at the racetrack. And I'm like, man, that Caden Tverziak is the truth. I'm like, he is going to be the next guy, just like Mason Jackson or some of these younger riders who just become talents in that, you know, as they rise up the ranks and kind of just never miss a beat. You know, they never go through a season of like figuring it out. And he sure seems like he's got the chance to be one of those guys too. Caden Tverziak, man, he's going to be a rider to watch. Like I said, I'll tell my listeners here, our listeners, exactly what I told my dad. Caden Tverziak is the truth. So I'm glad that you touched on him as well, because I've been about as impressed over the last 12 months or so. Over the course of the last year, I've been as impressed with him as anybody. So he's going to be a rider to watch here in the 2024 season and beyond as well.
For sure. All these guys, all the great racing this year. There's so many fast ones. It's going to be great at every round.
And I always feel like, man, there's so many people I want to touch on, but we only have so much time. But yeah, I feel like any of these riders, you impressed enough, you know, whatever, on the weekend, we'll make sure that we shout you out here the next week on the show, on our race review shows. Eliza, parting thought then. Let's kind of tie things up here, tie a bow on everything. Give me a prediction, any prediction of any kind. But give me a prediction for Etchikani. You just watched all these riders. You spent the entire weekend with them. You watched every lap that every rider did. So give me a prediction for Etchikani.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Putting you on the
WMX,
spot.
WMX, I think Natalie Jackson might be able to give Kinsey a run at the round. I think Natalie might be right up there. And then in Super Mini, Styles and Caden Pearson were going right at it. I think Caden might be able to pull it out at the next round.
What about the pro class? Give me a pro class prediction of some kind, because you can't just say Joel Hetrick's gonna win.
Well, we know how that goes. Let's see, it all depends on how qualifying goes. I would like to see Bryce in that second position, but I also want to see Brandon up on that podium.
See, because this is valuable info. This is valuable info because you've been a standout ATV fantasy player for as long as we've had it. So I don't know how you did this past weekend, Eliza, but your comments here are valuable because you've always been in the mix.
I reminded everybody on Quad Radio to go make their picks. And when I forgot to update my picks. After qualifying, but I told everybody else.
Well, you had a lot going on, but I did appreciate the shout out. I appreciated that a lot. The whole family perked up when you said that. So we appreciated it.
But yeah, I mean, Joel's probably gonna be on that top block. I'd like to see Bryce in that second position, Brandon in third, Rastrelli in fourth, and Wesley in fifth. That would be my top five.
That's your prediction. Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I got a feeling. This is my prediction for Etchikani. I think Nick Janusa finishes on the podium.
Oh.
I think that Etchikani, though it'll get rougher, I think it's maybe a little more like his track at home than a lot of the tracks that we race at nowadays. And Nick's a guy that shows up and shows out at Sunset Ridge a lot of times, because that's a lot like the track that he rides at home, the way that the ground and the soil base is. And I just have a feeling that he's been strong. I mean, we saw him finish fourth in the second moto there on Saturday. I just got a feeling. I think that we're going to see Nick Janusa on the podium at Etchikani. So listeners, you heard it here first. And then Eliza, it wouldn't be right for me to not get a Supercross prediction of some kind from you as well, since this is your thing now. So give me some kind of Supercross prediction of any kind heading into where are you flying to? Foxborough, right? You're going to Boston area. So give me a prediction for Supercross.
I think Cameron's going to come out in the 250 class and win that one. The 450 class, it is so stacked. I'm going to go out on a limb. We're going to say Tomac. He did really well last week.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I would love to see that. I loved at St. Louis how everybody, the entire stadium, was on their feet for the guy. And I just, how cool. Because not often in supercross racing or motocross racing do you get that feeling like you do at a stick and ball sport where the whole stadium is cheering for someone or something. And when it does happen in racing, it the hair on my arm standing up again, because you don't see it very often. And I've been there for, I was, Brooke and I were at Indy last year when Roczen won, and it was the same kind of thing, different scenario, but same thing where everybody was cheering. And I think everybody wants to see and wanted to see Eli get another win before this thing is over. I think the dude's going to come back and race another year. But yeah, awesome. Awesome to see that. That would be a good prediction. I'm going to go, not that anybody cares, but I'm going to give my Supercross prediction as well. Not for the weekend. I'm going to go a little broader than that. And I'm going to say Cooper Webb wins the title. Cooper Webb's going to win the title. He's getting too close. He's too scrappy. And if they get in a brawl, I don't know if Jet wants any of Cooper Webb. So we'll see. But yeah, I could talk Supercross here all day with you, Eliza. So fun to hear about everything you got going on and amazing opportunities. Credit to you for kind of getting on a path and talking to the right people and being in a spot in life where you got signed up and okayed and taken for an awesome position like that. So credit to you. And man, that's the coolest thing. We've loved to hear about it here on the show. So yeah, keep living it, keep enjoying it. And man, I can't imagine you're ever going to forget this. This is going to be the highlight of your life, probably.
Yep, that's for sure. I mean, just everything worked out great. And then to be back at the quad races this weekend, see everybody that I hadn't seen in a while, it was great. And can't wait to do the next one.
Awesome. Well, Eliza, you rock. I can't thank you enough for your time and talking some ATV racing with us. I know you got to turn your brain back to the two-wheeled side now, but I just want to congratulate you on all your success again. Thanks so much for rejoining the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast with me. And like I said, keep enjoying the journey every step of the way. And who knows, I'm sure we'll talk, you know, between now and a year from now at this time. I know you're always, it seems like I remember talking about this. I think you've won more ATV fantasy rounds than like anybody ever. So maybe this is the year you get a championship, but yeah, I appreciate you being here. Appreciate all the conversation about ATV racing. I appreciate you supporting Digging Deep in ATV fantasy and all those things. And we're cheering you on. So safe travels, have fun, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again, Eliza. That's Eliza Capen signing off on the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, brought to you by the D6 Ultimate Quad Series. Thanks so much, Eliza. Have a good night.
Man, and just like that, Daytona and Underground are behind us. They're in the rear view, which means it is time for Etchikani to make its triumphant return to the ATV Motocross National Circuit. So stoked about that. We shared some Texas clips from 20 years ago this past week, the ones I referenced earlier in the show here, and I would anticipate some old Etchikani races coming this week, so be on the lookout for that on our social media channels. Also, my Cooper Webb prediction came before he won Foxborough on Saturday night and tied up the points in the Supercross series, so just know that. Thanks to tonight's featured guest, Eliza Capen. Thanks to producer Dallas Jansen, my brother, for all his hard work. Thanks to my wife, Brooke, and thanks to AMA official Harv Whipple. Thanks to all of our donors. You know who you are. We appreciate you so much. Thanks to all of our partners, CSD Tires. Go to shop.csdtires.com today. Yamaha, thanks to Blue Crew. Thanks to SSI Decals, Valvoline, DID Racing Chain, Namira Technologies, Bronco ATV and UTV Components, Launderville Steel Enterprises and Concrete Supply, the financial advice of the Haymauer Financial Group, DP Brakes, Factory 43, Binky's Forever ATC Museum, Impact Solutions, Ultimate Poly Products, UPP Racing. Use discount code DIGGINGDEEP15 at UPPRacing.com, the D6 Ultimate Quad Series, and Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at Manscaped.com. Support the brands that support our show, and don't forget to use those codes to save. Find it all on our website, and be sure to click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner for all your gear and parts needs and to help us out. And most of all, thanks to you guys for listening.
Shop.diggingdeepatvmx.com is where you'll find all of our apparel, including our latest drop for the new season. You can find all things ATV Fantasy related at atvfantasy.com, including tier changes, updated standings, and we have awards going out this week for round one, round two hopefully getting out this week as well. So congrats to all of our winners. If you're looking for another easy way to help support us, visit our website and click the Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee buttons. This allows you to set up a one-time or monthly contribution to support our efforts. Follow the show on social media, Digging Deep ATVMX Podcast, and myself, Cody Jansen, for additional content coverage and more fun stuff as this 2024 ATV motocross season is in full swing. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Wherever you find podcasts, you'll find the Digging Deep ATVMX Podcast. All episodes, additional podcast providers, sponsor links and discount codes, show merchandise, fantasy info, and more can all be found on our website, diggingdeepatvmx.com, so check that out today. Be a friend, tell a friend, please download, subscribe, rate, review, and share. And with that, for Eliza Capen, Brooke Jansen, Dallas Jansen, and I'm your host, Cody Jansen, thanks for listening to and making us the most listened to podcast in ATV racing, with more than 253,000 downloads last month in 108 total countries. Until next time, thanks for joining us in digging deep with the stars of ATV motocross.
Things are crashing and burning here at the Digging Deep podcast, much like the Titanic.
Those guys were hauling ass, for real.
I remember watching Doug Guss, I don't know who it was, Steel City, running the same times Friday afternoon as James Stewart was on Sunday back then. It was mental. I've never seen quads go that fast.
Quadlers are freaking nuts.